presentation program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KUCU, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our phone number here, 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today and maybe you're feeling shy, you can always email us your questions. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com or tweet us a question at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, no spaces. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dr. Tortora or check us out on Facebook, Hawaiian Eye Center on Facebook, so facebook.com/Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ. And we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. Now, we're going to try to be consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. If you'd like to check out past versions of the radio program, go to our website, hawaiianeye.com. You can find the radio shows there, our kind of radio shows from the past year or so, and our podcast. Subscribe to a podcast. And just stay tuned, and we'll have a lot of fun talking about eyes today. Well, I want to start by talking a little bit about some things that we've seen in the office over the past week or so. And the thing that kind of sticks in my head this week is there's one particular person, but this is a common experience, a common story, that the patient came in saying, gee, you know, I don't see so well, my vision is not that great, can't read as well, I'm having trouble driving at night, the TV is not clear, I can't recognize faces on the TV as well, can't read the subtitles as well on the TV as I used to. And when we checked out the eyes, we found, oh, you have a cataract. And a cataract can be quickly and easily treated with a painless surgical procedure, so would you like to have it done? And the patient said, no, I'm afraid of surgery. So, turned out the spouse was sitting right there in the room, and the spouse spoke up and said, hey, I had both eyes taken care of on my cataract. It was great, easy, and now I see so well, you should do it. But the response was, no, I'm afraid of surgery. So, the first thing that that comes to my mind is the fact that the number one thing that I hear from people who have their cataracts removed when they come back to the office afterwards and they're talking about the experience they have, one of the first things that common things that I hear is, I wish I had had this done years ago. I shouldn't have waited so long to have this done. And the reason is because they see such an improvement in their vision following the cataract surgery that they say, gee, why didn't I go for this and get this improvement earlier, and then I could be seeing better sooner. So that's a common experience. So if you have a cataract and you're putting it off, and the doctor said, gee, I think you'd benefit from having a cataract removed, then maybe consider not putting it off. Second thing that came to my mind when I heard this was that a lot of people are worried about surgery, are scared about surgery. The idea of having someone do something to your body, to your eye, is a frightening thought. And it's normal to be scared, to be frightened, to be, apprehensive about having surgery done, particularly on the eyes. But it doesn't just have to be the eyes. People are apprehensive or nervous about having surgery done on pretty much any part of their body. So when it comes to eye surgery, I can reassure most of our patients along a few lines. The first is that eye surgery, generally it's fairly easy to numb the eye, so eye surgery is typically painless. And so one of the reasons that people are concerned or worried about surgery is that they're going to have pain. And so I can tell you that the vast majority of people on whom we do any type of eye surgery, particularly cataract surgery, have no pain or significant discomfort at all. And in addition to that, not only is it painless because you make the eye numb, but most people also enjoy being a little bit out of it, a little bit relaxed. So we generally also will give you medication to help you feel a little bit more relaxed. A couple of good things about the medication. The first is that it makes you feel better, makes you feel more relaxed. The second is that it actually prevents you from remembering any of the bad things that may have happened during the time of the surgery. Because most people who have this type of relaxing medication also tend to forget whatever happened around the time that they got the medication. So even if something isn't ideal, you won't remember it afterwards. But generally not. People are very comfortable during the procedure. They're relaxed from the medication. The eye is numb, so you don't feel anything uncomfortable. So cataract surgery is essentially a painless process. And most people don't worry too much about the surgery. The thing that people probably find most inconvenient about cataract surgery is having to use eye drops before and after the surgery to help the healing process. And even that, we have some things that we can do to improve that. There are newer versions of some of the eye drops that are available that can be used less frequently. So you can get away with fewer drops every day following surgery if you want to go with name brand medications. The generic medications, which are a little cheaper, need to be used a little bit more frequently. But the name brand medications often can be used as infrequently as twice a day, 2 to 3 times a day. And so these less frequent medications are an improvement over the 4 times a day that we generally recommend several eye drops following cataract surgery. And generally the drops of the medication is used for 3 to 6 weeks following the procedure, depending on how the eye heals. So cataract surgery is painless. It's pretty quick. Usually an experienced head takes about 15 to 20 minutes. Most people see better fairly soon afterwards. Usually you see an improvement within a week or two, often sooner, following the cataract procedure. And so the people who are putting it off and waiting because they're scared or because they are worried, there's really very little reason to put it off once you've established that your vision changes or your vision loss is related to cataracts and that you need to get improved vision. And so generally I tell people the time to fix or treat a cataract is when it's interfering with your vision such that you're not seeing as well as you'd like to. And what that means is that in your daily activities, if you're not seeing well enough to drive or to read or see the TV or pass the driver's license vision requirement, and those changes are due to a cataract, then it's worth getting it treated or getting it removed. If you're seeing fine and don't have any need to pass any specific vision requirements, then there's certainly no rush to have a cataract removed. And many people do elect to put it off for a while, but as I said, one of the things I hear frequently is, yeah, I wish I did this sooner because it's so much better now. So that is something to bear in mind. The other reason people are often scared or frightened about surgery is the concern about complications or problems following surgery. And of course, with any surgical procedure, there does come a little bit of risk. But eye surgery, among all surgeries considered, tends to have a much lower risk of serious problems associated with it than does other forms of surgery. So if you're having eye surgery, chances are good that you'll have a rapid recovery and improve as a result of the cataract procedure. Now, there are other eye surgeries that are a whole different idea. Glaucoma surgeries, for example, are kind of different. There's different risk profiles and different issues associated with those. But for cataract surgery, it's really reached the point where the procedure is so quick, painless, and regular, sort of routine in a sense, that the recovery is pretty consistent for most people. They're seeing better quite soon after the procedure. So some people the next day, they're already seeing an improvement. Some people it takes a week or two. But within that first couple of weeks, it's generally the vision improves considerably. And but for most people, the eye is completely healed within a month or 6 weeks following the procedure. A lot of people say, when's my eye completely healed? And the answer is actually, it's probably not completely healed for a month or two after the procedure, but you can basically act as if it's healed fairly quickly. You can go back to normal activities right away, other than swimming or getting your eye wet, and you can go back to basically good vision fairly soon and update your glass prescription if that's necessary within a few weeks usually after the procedure. So the recovery time is pretty quick. Let's talk a little bit about other advantages people can get from cataract surgery as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor island, call 888-621-2020.
Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
We were talking a little bit about cataracts, and cataract surgery actually is pretty much the number one, one of the top few surgeries done in terms of numbers of procedures in the country today. And the reason is because everyone, if they live long enough, is going to develop a cataract. Cataract is a normal part of the aging process. And if you have a cataract and it's clouding your vision, the treatment or the surgery to remove it is quick, painless, and generally results in sharper, clearer vision almost within a very short period of time after surgery. Now, people who have cataracts removed now often see better without their eyeglasses after the cataract surgery, particularly if they were significantly dependent on eyeglasses prior to the cataract surgery. But it actually turns out that we, in the past 3 or 4 years, have been able to offer patients a little additional work, a little enhancement at the time of the cataract surgery to help significantly reduce their dependence on eyeglasses, more so even than the standard cataract surgery does. This is a premium procedure, meaning that it's not covered by insurance. It's kind of, you can think about it the same way you think about having a LASIK procedure, one of these other corrective procedures to improve your vision, reduce your need for eyeglasses. We, at the time of the cataract surgery, we do some additional work to try to maximize the vision so that it's you're less dependent on eyeglasses afterwards, both for distance vision and for near or close-up vision, using a special lens implant, correcting astigmatism or irregular curvature of the surface of the eye. And for people who are interested in significantly reducing their need for eyeglasses, this offers a unique opportunity, which is at the time of the cataract surgery, when the natural lens of the eye, or the cataract, is coming out anyway. They're putting in a lens implant to focus the light. If we use an implant that gives you a greater range of focus and do a few other things to try to enhance the outcome, then the chances are good that you'll see well for the majority of things that you do without glasses. And so this is a significant benefit that we've been able to offer to a lot of patients. Now, not all cataract surgeons offer this. Not all cataract surgeons are experienced in this type of enhancement. So if it's something that you are interested in, for sure ask your doctor about the lens implants or the other procedures that can be done to maximize your vision to improve both distance and near vision. So I want to talk a little bit about some other stuff now. And I have a guest here in the studio with us, who is my son, Nicholas Tortora. And some of you who have listened to the radio show for many years may remember Nicholas, but he's gotten a little bit older now, because I think the last time he was on the air was a couple of years ago. So let's say good morning to Nicholas. Good morning, Nicholas.
Good morning.
So tell us, just for those of people who are listening there, how old are you now and what grade are you in?
Right now I'm 13 years old and in 8th grade, going on to 9th grade.
Okay, so in high school next year, great. All right, well, today you're here with me not because you wanted to talk on the radio so much as because afterwards we're going somewhere that you wanted me to bring you on the way home. So tell me a little bit about what you're planning to do today.
Well, my latest interest is paintball, and obviously it's important to wear eye protection because of the flying projectiles.
Right, people always worry about paintball as one of those things that you might injure your eyes or, of course, other parts of your body. But so what kinds of precautions do you and your friends take to make sure that your eyes are safe from paintball? Do they make you wear eye protection anytime you're on the field? Do you have to wear special goggles and masks or what?
Every single time you're on the field, you are required to wear a mask so that you don't get hurt in your face.
Okay, and the mask includes goggles, or can you just wear goggles? Do you have to wear a whole helmet? How does that work?
The mask includes a face part with the goggles and mouth protection and nose protection.
Okay, so your whole face pretty much is protected. Okay, that's good. And they don't let you on the playing field unless you're actually wearing that protective gear.
Exactly.
Good. Okay, well, sounds like you're going to be taking good care of yourself. So I guess for all sports, people need to watch, make sure that they have the proper protective gear, particularly when it comes to the eyes, because there are serious injuries that can occur from eye-related issues. And the types of things that we see in the office from sports-related injuries are generally occurring when kids or adults playing sports are playing without using the appropriate eye protection. And there are a number of sports where eye protection is very important. Paintball, of course, is one of them. Airsoft, which is related to paintball, where there are projectiles and they can, of course, hit people, hit them in the face, hit them in the eye, and cause damage to the eyes if eye protection is not being worn. The protective gear for the eyes for this type of place, this type of sport, requires a certain level of protection. It needs to be shadow resistant up to a certain amount of force, and so you need to make sure that the protective gear is specifically designed either for that sport or is up to the rating standards of the nationalized rating standards agencies that create these ratings. And so usually it'll say something on the side of the on the side of the gear, on the side of the glasses, if you're wearing goggles or glasses or something else, like ANGI and there's a number, and that has to do with the rating industry, and it says that the glasses or the lenses of the glasses are at least a certain level, provide at least a certain level of protection. So for paintball, it's important. For other sports, it's also important. Racquetball is one of those sports where you can get hit in the eye with a fast-moving ball, and that can cause serious eye injuries. Basketball, believe it or not, is a common source of eye injuries. And for basketball, it's not so much the ball, because the ball is so big that it doesn't actually fit inside your eye socket. So the ball, it's very difficult to get an eye injury with a basketball itself. Although you could get an abrasion or a scratch on the surface of the eye, you're unlikely to get a serious injury. But what you can get is people's elbows and people's fingers in your eyes when they're grabbing for the ball. So someone could be reaching for a ball in your head, mostly right there. And you know, it might get a nice poke in the eye. versus the type of eye injuries we see in basketball players. So unless you are a prime athlete that can beat Bob and Reeve to stay out of the way of the ball, even though some of these athletes get injuries as well, then it's important to wear eye protection when you're playing basketball. And so some of these sports glasses, sports goggles, are not a bad idea as well. So racquetball, we talk about baseball, any projectile-related pursuits, sports, and what else? Other, you know, baseball, hockey, soccer, football. Of course, you want to make sure that you are wearing the appropriate protection. Football helmets now, some of them come with a clear face shield as well to help protect people from getting their toes and elbows and fingers and elbows and things stuck in their eyes. So that's important to make sure that you're protecting yourself when you're out there playing sports. Okay, let's go to some eye news stories. I have a story here about patients with glaucoma having a little bit greater fear of falling. So the thing about glaucoma patients, patients who have advanced glaucoma, is they lose some of their peripheral vision or their side vision, and this seems to affect perception of certain types of things. So let's look at a few lines from this article here. It says, people with bilateral visual field loss due to glaucoma, meaning they've lost some of their side vision or peripheral vision from glaucoma, have a heightened fear of falling, which can keep them from doing physical activities and traveling outside their homes, according to research presented at a poster session at the American at the Association for Research in Vision and Ophthalmology annual meeting in Florida. The extent of their fear surpasses the fear of falling that people have with other conditions that affect mobility, such as stroke, heart failure, cardiovascular disease, and Parkinson's syndrome, according to the authors of this study. In this observational study, the doctors in the study compared fear of falling in 83 people with glaucoma and bilateral visual field loss in 60 people with good vision without significant visual field loss recruited from patients followed for glaucoma or the suspicion of glaucoma. So the participants completed a fear of falling questionnaire. I didn't even know that was such a thing, fear of falling questionnaire, okay. And the extent of their fear of falling was assessed using an analysis. So they said the researchers found that the fear of falling was greater in the glaucoma group than in the control group, and the more severe the visual field loss, the greater the fear of falling. Okay, so it says on a daily basis, people with low levels of fear spend an average of 44 minutes of moderate to vigorous physical activity and an average of 4.6 hours away from home. Those with a moderate to severe fear spent an average of only 15 minutes versus 44 minutes in moderate to vigorous physical activity and an average of 3.5 hours away from home, so compared to 4.5. So that it seems that in these patients, quality of life may be improved by developing interventions which might minimize that fear. So they said what really stood out in the study was that the effect of having glaucoma on the fear of falling was 2.5 times greater than the effect of other illnesses that affect mobility. So glaucoma does have a substantial effect. So basically, although glaucoma doesn't make you any weaker or any less able to perform various types of physical activity, apparently it does play with your mind, in a sense, in the fact that it makes it less, it makes people less willing to go out and take chances, engage in physical activity, and of course that can have an effect on overall health as well, because staying physically active, of course, is important in maintaining good health over time. So these glaucoma patients clearly have significant damage to their vision, but it's not damage to the central vision. So if you have a reading eye chart, they may read fine, they may read 20/20. But if you test their side vision, the peripheral vision, you'll find that that side vision is weaker. And they may not appreciate this when they're just walking around. They may not notice it because the central vision is fine, but the peripheral vision is not. And so if you have a poor peripheral vision, you're not going to notice it right away because it only affects the side vision. You're not looking that way most of the time. It apparently does affect the overall sense of vision because these people are having more difficulty dealing with things that that makes them feel more like they have a greater fear of falling or tripping or losing their balance or something because they're not perhaps seeing as well in that peripheral vision area. All right, let's take another short break so we can listen to the news. And when we come back, we'll talk about some more eye news. And, of course, there'll be time to take your calls in the next segment. So think about what you want to ask about and give us a call, 521-8383. Be right back.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Reed. Dr. Reed brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHZ.
It's 74 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julie Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. President Barack Obama says the leaders of the group of eight industrial nations are all committed to growth and stability along with fiscal consolidation as part of efforts to address Europe's debt crisis. The leaders are meeting today at Camp David, Maryland. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is under pressure to balance her push for fiscal austerity with doses of stimulus spending after repeated protests across Europe against austerity measures. Military aircraft intercepted two small planes in restricted airspace around Camp David, where world leaders are holding that summit. NORAD says the two Cessna 172 aircraft were out of radio communication last night inside a 30-mile restricted area around the presidential retreat. The Secret Services, the violations were not deemed to be threatening. About 2,000 Hawaiian Electric Company customers on the west side of Oahu lost power early this morning. Hiko says the power went out in Ma'ili at about 2 a.m., was restored at 3 a.m. The problem was a metallic balloon that got caught in some power lines. Hiko reminds you to always add a heavy weight on the end of the balloon string so it doesn't fly away. Kauai County health officials are waiting for results of water quality tests following a sewage spill Wednesday at Kalapaki Beach in Niue. The beach will remain closed indefinitely until those results show the water is deemed safe. An electrical malfunction at the wastewater treatment plant caused the problem. Thousands of participants stepped off at Ala Moana Beach Park for the 34th Annual Visitor Industry Charity Walk. They're traveling on the sidewalk through Waikiki, stopping at sites along the route to sample delicious food prepared by participating hotels and restaurants. They'll loop back and finish at McCoy Pavilion. The event raises money for several charities. Mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s tonight, partly cloudy and low near 68 tomorrow, sunny.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want that useful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Yes, Hawaiian Eyes. And this is the Hawaiian Eye Show that you're listening to. And if you have any questions, give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call. And you can reach us here live. While we're waiting for your call, let's go talk to Dr. Reed, who's standing by our office in Wahoo. Well, hi, Dr. Reed. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Dr. Sakura. Good morning.
All right. Well, I understand that you're in office this morning, and you'll be seeing some patients, but you usually have some kind of interesting report to share with us. So what's up, Richard?
Yeah. So I did see a really interesting lady the other day. She was complaining of seeing some gray spots right in the center of her vision. And the first thing I think of are floaters, and that's pretty quite common, especially the older population. But this didn't really sound like it. She then said wife and said it was always there and just followed wherever she looked at. Didn't drift at all. She didn't have any history of recent trauma or surgeries. But her medical history is significant for a medical condition called lupus, and she's been taking a medication called Plaquenil or hydroxychloroquine for several years. So as an ophthalmologist, that is pretty significant because Plaquenil can cause toxicity to the eye, and it can affect the vision. So I thought that was very important. So usually in a Plaquenil patient, we run a few tests to check for toxicity, and in one of the tests that we did perform on this nice lady, it did show that she was missing part of her central vision, so that is pretty significant. That suggests that she may have toxicity from a Plaquenil. So in cases like this, we often talk to her doctor who started on the medications, and he agreed we should probably stop it. If we don't, the chances of the toxicity could get worse, and her vision could worsen over time. She did have an eye exam when she first started taking the Plaquenil years ago, but really never followed up. And we usually recommend that our patients get annual eye exams, especially after 5 years of starting the medication, to check for signs of toxicity. The best thing to do is to get seen if you're on the medication. Usually, doctors are good about sending the patients to us for an initial eye exam and having a yearly exam then is a good idea before any of the vision changes occur. So, I mean, it's a good thing this next lady did it this year. At least, hopefully, her vision will worsen over time.
Yeah, that's a great advice, because people who are taking these medications don't always know that they should be getting their eyes checked. And of course, sometimes the doctors mention, oh, go for an eye exam, and then they won't take it seriously or something. So that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. And look forward to seeing you in the office next week.
Okay, great. Thanks, Dr.
Sarah. Aloha. That's Dr. Stephen Lee, our newest doctor at the Hawaiian Eye Center. Dr. Lee's been with us now for nearly 3 years, or 2.5 years anyway. And nearly 2.5 years. And not only taking care of a wide variety of general patients and doing cataract surgery and so forth, but he's also doing a cornea specialty. He takes care of people who have a specific case of corneal problems and does corneal transplants and other corneal surgeries that I don't do. So between the two of us, we have a good combination of a nice variety of services that we can offer. So pretty much a full service eye care specialty office. So the point that Dr. Lee brought up about certain medications having potential side effects elsewhere in the body, especially the eyes, just to mention which medications these might be. These would be medications like hydroxychloroquine or Plaquenil, which is commonly used for lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and several other conditions. It would include medications like steroids, like cortisone-type medications, if you're using those for asthma or for other types of conditions. The cortisone-like medications can cause side effects in the eyes as well, and you should have regular screenings of the eyes for those. Of course, if you have diabetes and you're taking medication for diabetes, it's not the medication, but the fact that you have diabetes that can affect the eyes, and so you want to make sure to take those medications or check up regularly if you're taking medication for diabetes. Okay, let's go to the phone. We've got Anne standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Anne. Welcome to the program.
Maybe this doesn't pertain to your eye problem, but maybe I can ask whether you know anything about dry mouth.
Uh-huh. Well, dry mouth and dry eyes sometimes go together. People who have certain forms of arthritis, certain other medical conditions tend to have both dry eyes and dry mouth, and this is because of a nerve-related issue where the secretion of tears and the secretion of saliva are being weakened or being reduced. So I can tell you that sometimes there's a connection between dry eyes and dry mouth, but as far as dry mouth, I don't know a whole lot about the causes of it other than the ones that also cause dry eyes. But I know that there are, just as there are artificial teardrops that you can put in your eyes, there are artificial saliva supplements that you can use in your mouth to reduce the symptoms of dryness of the mouth, because it can be quite uncomfortable under some circumstances.
Oh, by the way, can you recommend me any doctor that I should go to for this condition? Because this happens generally in the night, and I have to, can hardly sleep.
Yeah, that sounds like it's definitely affecting your lifestyle. You ought to get it checked out. I would start with your family doctor, your general doctor. Have them, if you have a general medical doctor, have them evaluate it. And they would probably send you, depending on what they found and what types of issues are, they'd send you either to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, or if they found some underlying condition, they might send you to a doctor that would deal with an underlying condition. For example, if it was a form of arthritis or something that was causing it, they might send you to a rheumatologist or a specialist along those lines. So just start with your regular doctor and see what they recommend. Or if you don't have a regular doctor, find just a general practitioner or internist, medical doctor, to evaluate your overall health and so forth.
Do you suppose the lung doctor could have a question about this? Because I went on a nebulizer, and then this seemed to be started from there on. I just want to say it, but I don't know what she would say if she don't think so, but you seem to nebulize it. Has something to do with it, too?
I doubt it, but we're really getting outside my area of expertise, so.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks for your call. Okay, let's talk to Shirley, who's standing by in Honolulu. Hi, Shirley. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Turturro. Thank you for taking my call. I have two questions. Take your pick. Okay. First one is the laser surgery for glaucoma. How many surgeries can you have? My lady friend said that her doctor said you're only limited to two. I've had two. My pressure is still up. I cannot tolerate medication. I'm in a quandary right now. Number two is recently went to a dentist. He gave me a shot to my upper jaw, and it's my left eye that's bad, and it was my upper tooth. He gave me an anesthetic, which I found out goes straight to your eye. And immediately after he gave me the shot, I had severe pain in the glaucoma eye, the temple, and my head. And I have a, can that have a, that my pressure went up. So I'm concerned if the pressure will ever come down. Somebody told me the medication should come out of my system, but I'm one of those with liver problems and it takes about 6 months before the medication comes down.
Well, I don't understand what the connection would be between an injection in your upper jaw and glaucoma. There's nothing in that injection that would make the glaucoma worse or the pressure in the eye go up or anything like that. Now, it's possible that, you know, one of the nerves that is being numbed from the injection there also goes to the upper part of the face or around the eye, so it's not, you know, it's not unheard of to have some pain in or around the eye following an injection like
I went to an oral surgeon after that, and I also talked to a pharmacist, and they said that particular injection that the dentist gave me did not have epinephrine, so the medication would travel through my face.
Yeah, well, that's not going to do any harm, though. I mean, that's basically, it's just an anesthetic, which is going to numb the nerve for a short period of time, but it's not going to cause a worsening of the glaucoma or, you know, condition in the eye. So certainly, you know, see your eye specialist to see if something else is going on as far as the pressure of the glaucoma goes, but that's, I don't think it's related to the injection. But let's talk about your other question, which is the pressure in the eye, because that's probably the more important one for your overall future, right? So glaucoma, as we talked about before, and as you know, but for the rest of the audience, is a condition where pressure inside the eye is elevated such that it's causing damage to the nerve, the optic nerve in the eye. And the way we monitor glaucoma is we measure the pressure, but we also measure to see how your eye is functioning. We'll do that by looking at the optic nerve, taking pictures of it, doing tests of your peripheral vision or side vision. And if through these tests we find that the vision is weakening over time, or that the nerve is getting more damaged from glaucoma, then that means we need to get the pressure lower. So the way we set the target pressure, where the pressure should be, is based on how your eye has responded at different pressures over time. So your doctor should have a rough idea of approximately where he'd like your pressure to be. For some people that's 10, for some people it's 18. So the number is not critical, and the number itself is not set in stone. It's sort of personalized. So your doctor should be able to tell you about where he wants your pressure to be. Now, if your pressure is above that, then we need to look at ways to get the pressure lower. And there are several ways to do that. One is with medications, which you say you have difficulty with, so medications may not be the ideal choice for you. The second is a laser, which is the older version of the laser, which is done with what's called an argon laser. Can be done twice, and that's it. But the newer versions of the laser treatment, which are done with a different frequency of light on the laser, and that laser is known as convective laser trabeculoplasty, which is also called SLT. So with the SLT laser, you can repeat that numerous times. There's no limit to how many times you can repeat that. Now, after 5 or 6 treatments, it probably isn't going to work as effectively anymore, but it can be repeated. If it worked the first time and it's been more than a year since the last treatment, you could have another touch-up treatment in most cases. I'd have to look at the eye for sure, but in most cases that can be done again. So if the laser that you have is the SLT version of the laser, that can be done repeatedly. But I wouldn't recommend doing it more than once a year, because if the effect is wearing off after less than a year.
I have a question. I was told that during the laser, I asked my doctor for laser because my pressure is 29 right now, and he doesn't want to do it because he said during the laser surgery my pressure could get worse. Is that true? I've had the 2 lasers and it dropped. I had no problem. Is it because my optic nerve is probably weaker?
It may be the optic nerve is weaker, but can you tolerate medication just like 1 or 2 doses of medication, or you can't tolerate
it? I'm currently on Valitan. I could tolerate it, but I cannot tolerate the ACOG. I can't even get out of bed. I throw up. I can't function.
Okay. And also, I can't really diagnose and treat you over the phone, but what I can say is that one of the side effects of the laser is that the pressure can temporarily go up immediately after the treatment, and then it goes back down again. And generally, prevent this pressure spike, this pressure elevation, by treating you with medication just after the laser treatment. And depending on what your sensitivities are and so forth, that could be varied or adjusted. But generally, that pressure spike, that pressure elevation after surgery is short term. And if the pressure remains high, whether with or without the laser, you're going to need something else done, and if medications are not doing the trick, that means some kind of surgery. Now, depending on how your eye looks, different surgeries may be an option, but there are some newer surgeries that we've been doing recently in our office. There's a procedure called canaloplasty, which is a less invasive surgery a little bit than the typical glaucoma operation. And so this is something that, you know, possibly could be a candidate for. So I think at this point what you need to do is you need to see a glaucoma specialist.
Are you a glaucoma specialist?
I am, yes. Uh-huh.
Oh! I'm sorry.
So that would help to, so that would probably help sort out your options for you and give you a little bit more information about what types of things. I'm happy to see you, but our office is located in Wahila, so for you in town, it's a bit of a trip, but we're happy to see you if you're willing to make the trip. There's a couple other glaucoma specialists also in town.
Oh, thank you. Wonderful.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's about a half hour drive from that.
I'm coming on a taxi, so it's going to cost me. I'm not used to go to Mali and fly back, but I need a second opinion, so I'd love to come.
Well, maybe you could find someone to give you a ride, or you could. The bus goes out there too. All right. Well,
thank you.
Hope good luck with that, and hopefully we get to see you in the office.
Thank you very much.
Aloha. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, I'm going to talk about some more eye news.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activity.
It doesn't hurt, it just takes 15, 20 minutes at most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor office, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Here we are back in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. And if you have any questions, now it's a good time to call. 521-8383 is the number to call. And if you call us in the neighbor islands, there's a toll-free number, 888-565-8383. And we have some news stories here. And then let's see, we have one here about smartphones. It says that smartphones can help the visually impaired, but many doctors aren't recommending them. It says iPhones and other smartphones can be a huge help to the visually impaired, but few vision doctors are recommending them to patients, according to a study co-authored by a Loyola University Chicago Strick School of Medicine ophthalmologist. Researchers surveyed 46 low-vision adults from the Chicago Lighthouse and Spectros Institute for Low Vision in Wheaton, Illinois. Participants' best corrected vision range from 20/70 to complete blindness. Researchers found only 15% of patients reported that a vision doctor had recommended smartphones for the device's accessibility features. 11 of the 46 patients, or 24%, used smartphones. Their average age was 36. 30 patients, 65%, used basic cell phones, and their average age was 57. 5 patients didn't use any phones at all, cell phones. Young visually impaired patients are getting ahead of their doctors, said Loyola ophthalmologist Walter M. J., MD, senior author of the study, which was presented at the 2012 annual meeting of the Association for Research in Vision. Low vision specialists should be getting out in front of us rather than riding behind the curve. Dr. J. said these are among the accessibility features that smartphones offer to the visually impaired. Font sizes can be increased as well as 56 points, enabling users with very poor vision to text and email. The screen can be brightened considerably. GPS and voice features help the visually impaired to navigate. So smartphones can dramatically improve the quality of life of people with poor vision. So the doctor who did this study is based in Chicago. So that's an interesting concept, is that some of the tools that are just available on a smartphone, an iPhone or a BlackBerry or an Android phone, are able to help people with poor vision, even just from the apps, the normal phone itself. But there are apps also that could be used probably to help improve people's mobility and accessibility. And I know there are a number of apps being developed or that have been developed that are designed to deal with low vision. Taking pictures of printed words and seeing them in larger font and other types of things that may be helpful. The next article here is about lutein and zeaxanthin, two supplements that have been talked about in terms of their benefit in eye health. And it says here, lutein and zeaxanthin may protect the lens of the eye from oxidative stress and reduce the risk of cataracts, according to a new study. The protective effects of lutein or zeaxanthin were reported to be similar to those of vitamin E, according to the findings published in a journal called Molecular Vision. The study adds to an ever-growing body of science supporting the role of lutein and zeaxanthin for eye health, with the majority supporting their role against age-related macular degeneration, the leading cause of visual blindness for people over age 55 years old. The Finnish researchers recently reported similar findings regarding lutein and zeaxanthin and the risk of cataract. Results published in the British Journal of Nutrition, indicated that the highest average level of lutein and zeaxanthin were associated with a 42% and 41% reduction in the risk of cataracts. This new study was performed by researchers from Sun Yat-sen University in China and the GMI and FDA Human Nutritional Research Center on Aging and Tufts University. So basically, what they did, even though this was an X-ray in the lab, a study, not a clinical study with patients. So they took cells from the human lens and soaked them in lutein, zeaxanthin, and other nutrients for 48 hours before exposing them to the oxidizing compound hydrogen peroxide for 1 hour. They then measured the various markers of oxidative stress, DNA damage, and cell viability. The results showed that hydrogen peroxide significantly increased levels of oxidized proteins, lipid peroxidation, DNA damage, while such damage was reduced when the cells were incubated with lutein, zeaxanthin, and alpha-tocopherol, which is another nutrient. So these data indicate that lutein and zeaxanthin supplementation may protect lens proteins, lipid, and DNA from oxidative damage. So it's still in the research phase in a what we call bench research or laboratory research, so we haven't seen it actually still benefit in a clinical study. In other words, have people take these supplements and see if they develop cataracts or not. But it is good evidence that this may be helpful in the prevention of various eye problems, including cataracts. Mm-hmm. And what else can you do about cataracts to protect your eyes? We get that question a lot. If you're developing an early cataract, what can you do to prevent a worsening of the cataract? And you can't do much to prevent it long-term, because long-term you're going to develop a worsening of the cataract over time. But you can slow the process a little bit by a couple of things, taking vitamin C and vitamin E. Or in the form of a multivitamin is fine, seems to be helpful. But also protecting your eyes from the sunlight, from the ultraviolet light, because that's a big source of oxidative stress to our eyes. And oxidative stress is one of the things that causes cataracts. And so if you wear sunglasses that block the UV light, that's a good way to help reduce the likelihood that damage from the sunlight is going to cause a worsening or weakening of the cataract. We've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care. I certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank my son Nicholas for contributing to the program today, and thank Meg and MJ for helping here in the studio, and say thanks to all you listeners for making this work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, be sure to tell your friends about us, and if you learned something new, you can always listen again next week. If you have a question, you can email it to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and you can answer those questions over there. Don't forget to check out our website at www.hawaiianeye.com, or follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/Dr. Tortora. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/HawaiianEye7. So with the Hawaiian Eye Show, it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. And we are listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, which comes to you every Saturday morning, and is also available on our website, hawaiianeye.com. Just click the radio button. I'm Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor island, call 888-621-2020.
America's Underman. The most gutless choice one can make. Be a liberal.
Every weekday morning at 10. KHDH Honolulu.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.